I woke up from a nightmare yesterday morning. And the nightmare, I kid you not, was that I was still teaching middle schoolers. Now, they weren't the amazing middle schoolers here at Dickinson. This is when I taught middle school in Mandan, and so they're whole different sort of kids there. But that was nearly 15 years ago. And so I was wondering, I was like, God, what was that about? And then I had a memory yesterday of when I was teaching middle school in Mandan. And I don't even know what I was teaching about, but I prefaced it by saying, now kids, this is really, really important. And there was this young boy in the class who put his face down in his fist and he mouthed the words, so what? He didn't say them, but he mouthed it and he made sure I was looking at him too. So what? Today is the Feast of Pentecost. This is the third highest feast in the whole church year, behind Easter and Christmas. This is the Feast of Pentecost. It has its own vigil mass, like Easter does, in which there's the option to have the full five readings, because that's the depth of the meaning of this feast for the life of the church. And the church asks us to celebrate this feast with the highest solemnity. This feast day is really, really important. So what? I want to give you just three moments and one reason why this feast day is so important. Three moments of salvation history in which God sent the Holy Spirit, and one reason for you why this feast day is so important. In the Old Testament, the main place that we see the Holy Spirit is right in the beginning at creation. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters as he created everything. And then with the fall, all of creation was thrown into chaos. All of creation was broken. And so what God is doing when he sends the Holy Spirit in the New Testament is he is recreating everything that was broken. And there are three moments where we see this especially. The first moment where we see God send the Holy Spirit is in Mary's Annunciation, when she says yes to being the mother of God. And it was in that moment when the Holy Spirit overshadowed her and God entered into his creation. The Word became flesh in the Annunciation, and at the Incarnation, at Christmas, it came to dwell among us. God came to walk among us, to eat among us, to heal among us. And Mary, in her Annunciation, is this great model of faith. That Mary isn't honored because she had perfect knowledge. She didn't. She's honored by the church because she had perfect faith. She had perfect trust in God's word. What's God trying to do all throughout the Old Testament? He's trying to get his people to trust him, to trust that he is a good father. And Mary is the perfect model of faith and trust. And through that yes, that fiat, the word became flesh, and at Christmas it came to dwell among us. The first sending of the Holy Spirit. The second was at Easter, in which Jesus was dead. He was a corpse lying in a grave. You know what a person is when you take the Spirit out from them. They're a corpse. If I was able to suck all the spiritual souls out of you, you'd just be a bunch of corpses. But in the moment and in the morning of the resurrection, God the Father breathed his life. The breath of God is the Holy Spirit. He poured all of his love into his Son. And as he breathed the breath of life into the first man, Adam, he breathed it into that corpse that is his Son, and it came to life. Jesus rose from the dead. He poured his Holy Spirit upon Jesus, and this is the reason right there for our hope, both in this life and in the next. That in this life, God can raise our souls, which can die, and he can bring life back to them. When we fall into mortal sin, our soul is a mere corpse. But when we repent and turn back to God, he breathed his life back into it, and we become alive again. It's our reason for hope in this life, and it's our reason for hope again in the next. When every one of us, when our bodies and our spiritual souls, when they break in death, that God will breathe his life and the Holy Spirit back into us and we'll have eternal life. Faith, our reason for hope. And the third great moment of the sending of the Holy Spirit is this morning at Pentecost, right here. The windows in this church, they mirror one another for a specific reason. Each one of these scenes is a mirror of something that's happening right here as well. And so the incarnation right here in this window, Pentecost, when God sent the Holy Spirit upon us, is the second incarnation. Where at Christmas, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. At Pentecost, the church was born, and the Word becomes flesh and dwells not among us, but now within us. That God pours his life and every bit of his love within us there. And this is what fills us with his life. Because with the fall, all of creation was wrecked. With the Annunciation and Incarnation, God enters into creation. In the resurrection, he saves creation. But creation, even with those things having happened, is still broken. It's with Pentecost that he is now restoring everything that was fallen. And how is he doing this? He's doing it through you and through me, through his church. This is how he is restoring what is broken. It's pretty cool, isn't it? But here's the thing of Pentecost. Without Pentecost, without the Holy Spirit, all of the rest, all of this and every window you see in every life and event of Christ, even the cross and the resurrection, all of that without Pentecost is not enough. It's not enough. In the ascension of last week, in Matthew's account of it, the apostles, they looked upon Jesus as he was about to ascend into heaven, and we hear that they worshiped, but some doubted. They worshiped him, but yet there was doubt in their heart. Kind of sounds like us sometimes, right? We come and we worship God, but yet there's this deep-seated doubt within us. Without the Holy Spirit, it wasn't enough. And these apostles, everyone, they had been with Jesus. They had seen his miracles. They had just spent 40 days with him, and they had touched his resurrected body. They had eaten with the resurrected Christ. They saw him for 40 days, risen from the dead. If you were to see Jesus and to see him perform miracles and to touch him and to hear him in the risen flesh, it wouldn't be enough without the Holy Spirit. Until you receive the love of God within you, none of the rest of it is enough. Because what were the apostles, even after the ascension? They were still gripped with fear. They were paralyzed with fear until they received the Holy Spirit, which filled them with a boldness and a courage to now go out into the whole world to be his witnesses, to be his martyrs, to bring him now into the world, to be the ones through whom God would restore what is broken. I want to leave you with just this last image and a prayer. And this image I want to leave you with is this right here. This is the Easter candle, which was lit on the holiest night of the year on Easter Vigil. And for 50 days, it burns at every Mass. It stands here in the prominent place and it burns because the fire represents the light of God, the light of the Holy Spirit, which raised Jesus from the dead. After this Mass, this candle will be extinguished and it will not be lit again at a Mass at all. With two exceptions, it'll stand in the back of the church and it'll be lit at baptisms and at funerals. But this candle is set in the back of the church in the entrance, and we see it as we enter the church for a specific reminder, because you'll see the candle every time you walk into the church and it will not be lit, because it's to remind us now with Pentecost, when we have received the love of God in these tongues of fire, this fire, which has burned all of Easter, is now burning within you. That life of God now is the one that is burning within you. The flame has been passed on. And it's this flame, this life of God, which you now bring out into the whole world. Without the Holy Spirit, none of the rest of it is enough. We'll either live our lives where we'll end up burnt out. You'll end up burnt out. Or worse yet, we'll live our whole lives where it's just living a life that's completely lukewarm. One of the saddest things, the saying goes, is someone who has become burnt out without ever having been on fire. But Jesus gives us in this feast the fire of the Holy Spirit so that it can burn within our hearts and it can burn in our lives without consuming them, that his life might be alive within us and it might set the whole world on fire with his love. And so we turn and we ask God for that Holy Spirit each day with the simple prayer, "Come, Holy Spirit." And I want to offer a prayer over you. It's the most ancient of the prayers of the Holy Spirit. So if you bow your heads in prayer. And ask God to send his Holy Spirit in any areas where your faith has become lukewarm. In any areas in your life where there's death, that he might bring it to life. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, enlighten the hearts of your faithful and enkindle within them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created, and you will renew the face of the earth. Amen.